Song. Thank you for your worship tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read to you three verses of scripture. And we're going to go ahead and get in the word because I feel this is going to take us a few minutes to get over. Don't fear. We'll get over it in a nice good time. Don't worry. But I just want to talk to you tonight about a very simple subject. And even that song just initiated more worship in my heart of why I am here at this church. As far as in a building coming together tonight, I want to preach to you tonight about what is the church. And really, if I was to title this, there's a Greek word that we use called ecclesia. That's describing the church, and that's going to be the focus of our sermon here tonight. What is the ecclesia? What is the church? When you see that word church in the Bible, what is it? What is it? And we're going to talk about how important that we understand that word ecclesia. I know we say the word church in English, but as we'll study tonight, and I hope to establish in your mind, it's important that we really understand what the original meaning of that word is. And I believe God will bless us in this study tonight. And these verses are just going to kind of be a launching pad for our study tonight. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. And if you're there, let's start reading there in verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles. Notice this, nor to the church of God. You notice that, nor to the church of God. Verse 33 of of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. I want you to look at verse 32 one more time. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. I want you to focus on that word, church of God there. I know that is an actual denomination, but all of us are really a part of the church of God, the living God. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And who am I? Who am I? As I sung that song tonight as with this congregation, I am humbled to be here at this church. We know the church was the plan of God. And God, I don't know how else to establish that in our hearts, but by your help, by teaching and preaching on it tonight. And I would tonight that we'd leave here with a fresh vision of what it is to be a part of that church, to be a part of the ecclesia that we read of in the Bible. God, you named it, you called us that for a reason. You gave us that distinction, that title. And God, tonight, let us leave here with a grasp on what that means in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen. We would agree this evening that the word church has become a very loose term in the society in which we live. If there's ever been a word that has been more distorted and abused in this hour, I would dare say it is the word church. And the reason I say that is because church is such a common word, but yet so few congregations really grasp or represent what the church really is from a biblical concept. But nevertheless, it is what God has called us. God called us the church. Jesus called us the church. And I believe in these last days that God is going to have a true church once again. He is going to have a true church. In the New Testament, and please follow me, I need your attention tonight. If you'll just give me your attention just for a little bit. In the New Testament, there are many different titles ascribed to the saints. Many of us are familiar with the words that are introduced there in the book of Acts. They call us Christians. Other times, we are called brothers and sisters. You'll find there that when Saul was going there in the book of Acts chapter 9, he was going there to persecute the followers of the way, is what it says, because we understand that that's what we're called as well. We have been called disciples. We have been called believers. Even before there was an established church there in the book of Acts, there were ascribed terms given to the disciples and the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentary brings out that there are around 100 different names in the New Testament that describes who the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, I didn't study all 100 of those terms. I took them at their word, but I do understand that they are in there in Scripture. Now, all these names in the Bible are descriptive. When we look at these words, when you see the word Christian, we understand that word basically means to be Christ-like. We are Christ-like. When When you see the word disciples, that word there means discipline or the mark of a good pupil. And my, do we not need discipline in the hour in which we live? Even Brother Eddie talking about cheeseburgers this morning. We need discipline even eating cheeseburgers. Amen. And I still enjoy them nevertheless. We have followers of the way. We look at that in the Bible. We understand the narrow way or even the only way. That's why they were called that. They were followers of the way. But the title I want to focus on here this evening is this title called The Church. Now, this title was not given by man. I want you to get that. I know the church is a popular term. It's been around for many centuries. But Jesus Christ was the one that originally gave us that very descriptive title. He was the one that called us the church originally there in the book of Matthew. Now, I want you to look at our text here. You don't have to be there in your Bibles. I'm going to read a verse to you, that text that I wanted you to focus on in 1 Corinthians 10 and 32. It says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Now, what I want you to focus on right there, it mentions three different groups. And these are very distinctive here in the Bible. He says, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. Now, we would understand, as I had studied this verse, why were these three names mentioned? Number one, let's look at this word Jews. Now, we understand who the Jews are. It's very popular within the church terminologies and church lingo there. But Jews were the descendants of Abraham that come through Isaac and Jacob. They are what we call the Hebrew people, and they keep the practices of the Old Testament. We understand right now, even this day, there are still Orthodox Jews that are alive and well in the day in which we live. Israel has plenty of Orthodox Jews. Even here in America, there are those that still carry out certain practices within the Jewish culture. The second name that is mentioned there is Gentiles. Now, interesting about this, I even typed this into a search engine. What does Gentile mean? Not a Jew. Amen. That's basically what it means. It means not a Jew. So we understand any other nation other than Israel are Gentiles, and that includes you and I. We understand if you read this in the Gospels, we are called dogs. Even some there, there's some alliteration there in the Bible and in the epistles that Jews were not really looked up to. Gentiles were not looked up to by the Jewish community. But notice here the two distinct groups. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. You're either born of that, you either have that in your lineage or you do not. You're either Jew or not a Jew. But nevertheless, if we come here to this church of God that is mentioned here in Scripture. Now, this is interesting about what Paul is doing right here, because it is amazing. In Christ, through His blood, He has reconciled the Jew and the Gentile together. And when you are saved, you are no longer a Jew or a Gentile, but now you are mentioned as by being a part of the church. Okay, look, we often hear so-and-so's a Jew or I'm a Gentile, and I understand what we are saying. I'm sure I will say that again before the day I die. But studying this and why Paul wrote it this way, he wants us to understand, once you are born again, you are not identified by Jewish or not Jewish. You are identified by being a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a new church. You are a new people. You are called out from that. When God moves on the heart of a Jewish person or a Gentile person, that heart is now given to Him, and they are giving a new name, a new identity. They are the church of Jesus Christ. So here tonight, it doesn't matter your background, where you're from, your nationality. If you were born there in Israel and you were of the stock of Benjamin, such as Paul, when you are born again, it matters not if you're a Jew or not. It matters not if you're a Gentile. You are now a saint and you are part of the kingdom of God. That's why Revelations 5 and 9, when we look there at this beautiful glimpse into heaven, it says they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God." Notice that. The Jew and the Gentile are both redeemed to God through Jesus Christ, redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue, people, and nation. I want you to get that here today. All of us, when we look at that beautiful futuristic picture, we're not going to be labeled as Jew and Gentile there in that kingdom. We are going to be those who are redeemed underneath a new nation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. A new people, a new creation, a new nation, all redeemed by His blood from every nation, tie, like a tongue and tribe. So you're either a Jew or a Gentile or a part of the church. How many understands today that the Orthodox Jew that has not accepted Jesus Christ is just as lost as the pagan Gentile? If you are a Gentile and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell just like a Jewish person who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are part of the church, that is what you are distinguished by. I am from Tyner, North Carolina, but I'm glad to know I'm a part of something bigger than Tyner. That'd be mighty depressing if that's all I knew in life. If that's as great as it could get. One gas station, one stoplight, and maybe two gas stations. And they got some good sausage biscuits in the little country stores. But if that'd be all I was known about was that. But I'm glad to know today that when I was born again, even though I lived in Tyner, I was a part of something bigger than just a town, a people, or a nation. I am brought into a new nation, and that new nation is the church of God. So we look at this term tonight. What is the church? And I want to slow down and talk about this word here this evening. And please, I just want you to follow me. I request that once again. Because we come to the New Testament, and there's this Greek word, church. We see this word church there in our English. But the Greek word is ecclesia. Now, the word ecclesia, as many of you already know, means the called out ones are called to a gathering. That's what that word church means in the original language. The word ek there means out of origin. It means we're called out of something. We're called out of our origin. So if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're called out of that into Christ. We focus on this aspect of it. I was a sinner by origin, but now I am called out of that into the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second part of that word basically means a calling out. That's what that word means, calling out a gathering of people together. Now, you should know that word, and it's important that you do. And you may say, Brother Derek, why is that so important? Because in the English language, if I ask you what the word church means in English, you would be surprised at all the different answers you would get trying to define that English term. Some people would ramble on about buildings, and they would say about singing and preaching, etc. And even though those things that I just mentioned is a part of what church is, that is not what the essence of church is. As a matter of fact, that word in our English language is called nonsensical, which means in the original, there is no Old English meaning to this. You even look at the Greek definition of it, or you get a very modern term for it. You've got to go back to it. It's very old. It's archaic is the word that they use for it. You've got to go back to the Greek language because that is where it came from originally. This is what church means. You have received a call to come out and to come into an assembly. And I would ask the question, who do you think is calling you out and calling you in? We know it's no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Father. It's the Spirit. Just like there in the book of Revelation, it beckons us. They tell us to come. They want us to come out of our origin and into something else. So let's look at this calling here just for a few moments. It is an individual call. It means to come out and to come in. How many remembers the day that you heard the call? I remember it. Now, I didn't know much about it at that time, but I knew there was something beckoning me to come out of what I was. I didn't need to be defined. I had made a name for myself there in Tyner in Edenton, North Carolina. There were several of the police officers who knew me by name, and I knew them. There were several people that knew me. I still today go back there, and it's amazing. Every now and then, I'll bump into an old high school teacher, and there was one gentleman by the name of Mr. Gaddy, and once again, I'm ashamed of these things. It's nothing to brag about. It's a horrible thing, but boy, did I not give that teacher a fit. He expelled me 2 or 3 different times. I could care less about what he said. I would walk out of the classroom, and I know it'd be hard for you to imagine some things like that, but I'm glad to know I became identified by my origin and my actions, the things that I did. I remember Mr. Gaddy, I remember sitting there in a teacher's meeting one day, and I remember Mr. Gaddy telling the principal, he said, this kid is an animal. There's a problem with him. He's rebellious. And I remember that day because I had skipped skipped school. I didn't go to school that day. And I thought I was being mighty slick, but all of a sudden I looked down at my cell phone and my daddy's calling me, and I picked the phone up, and daddy said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm at school." He says, "You're a liar. I'm at school." And so all of a sudden I remember going back to that principal's office. I sat in there. There's Mr. Gaddy, my mama, my daddy, and the principal. And boy, did they not let me know that it was just exactly what was going on. That I got in big trouble for that. But I became known for that in my area, my school. And there's, I seen a young man the other day. I had to go down there and pick up my daughter from my mom and dad's house. And I seen a young man that I knew. He was a lot younger than I. And I pulled over on the side of the road. He's a farmer. And I remember I shook it. I said, "How you doing, Heath?" And he said, "I'm doing good. How you doing, Derek?" I said, "I'm a preacher. I know it's hard to imagine." He said, "Oh no, I heard about you being a preacher. I heard about that, Derek." He said, "We're mighty proud of you in this family." I thought to myself, that's good. Because at one time I was distinguished by something. But all of a sudden I heard a call away from that lifestyle. And there you can reestablish your identity, not as Derek Jones who got in trouble in Tyner or Edenton, but now I'm Derek Jones who's a part of the church. There's a distinguishing factor there. I was called away from my origin. I was called away from that. Even, you know, sometimes your origin may be even a prestigious thing. You may be born into a wealthy family, a well-known family, but nevertheless, you can depend on that name and that prestige, but God will even call you away from those things. He wants you to be identified by the church. That's what marks us. Let them look at you at the church, at your job, and say, "That's so-and-so. He's a part of the body of Christ." That's what we are called into. It was an individual call, and I'm glad the day that I heard that call. Now, you can't fake that call. You know when it comes. And it's unmistakable when you hear that voice. Come out of your sins. Come on. You know, sometimes when we're describing salvation, we just talk about forgiveness. But my, so much more than just forgiveness. I was called out, but called in as well. He tells me that. So how do people get called? Number one is through the preaching of God's word. Romans 8 and 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Aren't you glad you're called, you're justified? We're going to the day of glorification. We were called from where? You're called from your sin, your old life, idolatry, fornication, atheism, and the list could go on and on. It is a distinct call, and you know that it's the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. And I would say it once again, do you? You remember the day that you heard the call to come out of your sins and into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know my history here at this church dates back a great 4 years. But many of you have been here for a long time. But I've heard many of you share the testimony of Brother Glenn preaching or somebody teaching or an event taking place right here in this church or in the surrounding area. And there, through the preaching of the gospel, you heard the call. And there you came to an altar or you prayed at home, whatever your story is. But nevertheless, you heard that very distinct call. And thank God for it. And I would say once again, it is distinct. You know when it is the voice of God. You know when he is drawing you and pulling you nigh to himself. So what is this calling, Brother Derek? It's many different things. And once again, this is just an overview here this evening. You are called to be saved. You say, "I know that, Brother Derek." But once again, it's good to refresh it in our minds. You're called to be saved from your sins. I'm glad to know this evening you are called to that. He didn't call you to a probationary period. He didn't call to spend so many years in a purgatory of some form. No, he called you straight to the cross. And when you come to the cross, there he regenerates you, forgives you, justifies you, and saves you right there on the spot. You can't beat that bargain. Yeah, right. You can't beat it. You come down one time, you hear the call, you kneel down, you pray, you accept him as your Savior, and at that moment, you're a part of the church. Man, you can't beat that. You know, Farm Fresh is going out of business, 50% off. It's better than that, I promise you. It's better than anything you can get at Walmart. It's better than anything you can get at material goods. I know there's a lot of good deals going around this world, they say. But no, this is the deal of a lifetime. When you're called to be saved and forgiven. But please, don't stop there. You're called to take up your cross. Yes, you have a cross to carry. And it's detrimental when you neglect your cross. We notice here he calls us to take up your cross. You're called to be Christ-like. You're called to be a Christian. Live like him. You're called to be transformed. And you know that list could go on and on and on about what you're called to do. But where are you called to? Now this is where we want to get to here this evening. You are called to come together with others that are called out. Why are we here tonight? Because you heard the call. Everybody that's born again in this room, you heard the call, come out. But he didn't leave you there. He says, come in. So why? I know I've said this several times, but the amazing thing about a church is we got all these different backgrounds from different parts of the country, different occupations. Some of you have different hobbies. Some of you like doing different things. You know, I could go, if we were to begin to name the differences in this room alone, it would probably blow all of our minds. Some of you like chicken. Somebody else likes steak. Somebody else may like seafood. This life, this preferences and differences, all in this room would make up a multitude of differences and preferences. I've said this before. The amazing thing about a church is you've got a group of people that have one great thing in common, and that's this. We all have been called out and forgiven of our sins. And that's why we find, you ever notice this? I noticed this in high school. I assume it existed back in the day when some of you were in high school. I'm not saying that was that long ago. But you have different groups in school. And that's amazing. We would walk into Johnny Holmes High School, where I went to school in Edenton, North Carolina. And every morning you would have the gather in the commons, is what they called it. And there you had all these guys over here in one circle, guys and girls, and the guys got cowboy hats on. They got trucks that are jacked way up, big tires, loud pipes, tinted windows, and every now and then they're right around with a dead animal in the back of. They're hunters. We call them rednecks. That's one group of people at high school. That's just what they call them. But then you got this other group over here, and they're dressed all in black, crazy hair, chains dangling from everywhere. And they're called, gothic, I guess you would call them. And then you had the athletic group, the preps and all the. You could go around the room and begin to name all these different groups. Then you got the skaters over here. You said, Brother Derek, what were you? I think I tried about all of them. None of them worked. The church ended up working out. But the amazing thing about the church, as Paul says, such were some of you. Such were some of you. Ain't no telling. I've laughed before. Looked at an old picture of somebody and said, who's that man with that long hair? Oh, so-and-so from this church. No way. Look at those big bell-bottom pants you're wearing there. And you could go on and I can't believe, you know, it's amazing. You look at these old pictures. But the amazing thing is here tonight, we're come together. What is the major factor in your life? I'll tell you the greatest factor in my life is not that I just come to this church or not that I live in Riverdale in Hampton, Virginia. It's not that I did this. My greatest factor of my life, what makes me up, is that I'm born again. That's what my life is centered around. That's why we come together. Not because we don't have differences, but it's around this one fact. We all have been called out and called together. That is what the big deal is. That's what we are called to. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily. Notice that, added to the church daily. Those who are saved are instantly added to the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're not going to get into the difference between the local church and the universal church in that sense of we know there's a body of Christ, but this is a fact that everybody that is born again is a part of the church. A person that is saved isn't left to wander aimlessly around without being added to a church. You ever heard somebody say, well, I'll just have church by myself? That's not the ecclesia. That's not the church. Well, me and my family, we'll go over here. No. That's not what we do. You say, well, they had house churches there in the Bible. No, they had big house churches. They had multitudes of people that got saved. That's not, you don't just isolate yourself. That is not the ecclesia. But Jesus adds to the church here in the book of Acts. I want you to notice that important term there because it is true. Jesus adds them to the church, not you or me. When a man or a woman is born again, they are a part of the body of Christ. And of course, that's when you come to a local church. You submit yourself to the doctrines of that church, the truth of that church, and that is a local church. If you are saved here tonight, you are a member of the church of God. If you're saved, you will also desire to be in the church of God. I worry about these people. Say they get saved and never want to come to church. It's a dangerous place to be. Can I go ahead and precaution you as well? There are times in life something may distance you from the house of the Lord. It may be a physical ailment. Maybe something else. But be honest with yourself. When you can get back to church, get back to church. Don't sit there and get in a rut and live and think you cannot just isolate yourself. And no, that's not what God is looking for. He wants you to come together. There's nothing more important than coming together as a church. I would say to you tonight, I know it may not seem like it all the time, but it needs to be in our minds. Coming together is more important than you going to work. That sounds crazy to some people. Coming to church is more important than anything. It's more important than your hobbies. It's more important than anything you can think of. It's more important than making extra money. Coming to church in the life of a believer is a priority that you must never, ever, 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 ever abandon. When you do, you have lost your heart for the house of God. You will eventually lose your heart for Christ Himself. I love that about Paul. He's persecuting the church. He's going to Damascus. Jesus stops him on the road to Damascus and says, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, no doubt in Saul's mind, he's probably saying, well, I'm persecuting the church, not you. But you have to remember, Jesus is the head. Saul was persecuting the body. Anytime that you view anybody that would look at me and say, I don't like the church, I just like Jesus, you've already lost it. This is the bride of Christ. You will want to be here. You will want to be here. And you will do everything you can to be here. Now, are there times something may come up? Yes. I appreciate those that when something does come up, many of you call me. Brother Derek, thank you for that. Because I ain't left wondering. There's some people you don't know if they're dead, sick, or even in church anymore. And you wonder where in the world's going on. And the problem is because they hadn't truly submitted to the church. Because when you submit to the church, you will submit to the authority of the church. And you'll let somebody know what's going on in your life. Yes, church gets personal. Now, if you are a member of this church here tonight where you have been prayed over and all these things as a member, I often tell people, I'm going to come after you. What do you mean by brother? Brother Derek? When you become a member of this church, you have submitted yourself to the authority of the church. And it's my responsibility to figure out what's going on. Amen. Even if you hadn't been prayed over, I'm still coming after you. I like to know what's going on. Now, I know I'm not a traffic cop. I can't chase you everywhere. And I'm not going to chase somebody all over this community. But I at least want to know what's going on. What do you think about Abundant Life Tabernacle? I hope it's around the core of your life. Now, once again, I want you to follow me once again. This is my third request for that. I know you're following me, and I appreciate that. But I feel like sometimes these deeper subjects, sometimes we go deep, and I don't want to lose you. Let's look at the history of this word, ecclesia. Now, please do listen to me. 4 centuries before the birth of Christ, we read about a man by the name of Alexander the Great. We understand that Greece was a small state made up of different groups. They were not united, but they were scattered, and they always were fighting against each other. But Daniel prophesied 3 centuries before that Greece would be raised up by God's hand, and it would rise up, and it would move with great speed. And I'm not going to go over all this detail, but Alexander the Great there was the first king, and they conquered and spread the Greek language all over the known world at the time. In theology, or in history, this is known as the Hellenization, which means the Greek influence took over the world at that time. That's where the word ecclesia came from. It came from Athens, Greece, which was their capital. And this is where Jesus adopted the word church from. Now listen to how the ecclesia worked there in the Greek Empire. There was a town crier, a man that went around and gathered people. He would go through the streets of Athens. He would go to groups and gatherings. He would call them away from their homes. How many knows we're away from our home tonight? He would call them away from their businesses. We're coming away from our businesses. He called them away from their activities. Amen.
away from the activities. He called them away from their games because there was a higher calling and important things to discuss. The crier was the representative of the highest authority in the community. And when they came together, they became what was known in the Greek term as the ecclesia. So what makes up the church and the ecclesia? It's when you come away from your home, your business, your activities, your games, and you come together and you come here tonight, we make up the ecclesia and the gathering of Abundant Life Tabernacle. Everybody with me? Now, why did they come together, Brother Derek? I'm glad you asked. They came together to listen to what the higher authority had to say. And I'm not putting myself in any special position, but the higher authority higher than me. They came together to discuss. They came together to vote. It's here that they made war against their enemy. They elected generals. They decided how to use money. That's what the ecclesia was. And that's what we are today in a depiction of that. We are the ecclesia. So once again, you cannot be the church all by yourself. There's some people that like that concept of only answering to themselves. But they don't like the idea of answering to a church. Now, once again, I know this is kind of basic stuff to many of you. But when I was coming up in church, I mean, the church was all up in your business. They really were. My pastor would call you. Where you at? We this. Well, you didn't tell anybody. Yeah, we were worried about you over here because you were missed. Can I tell you that you're missed when you're not here? It's safe to say that. You're missed when you're not here. I could go on and on. When I was a child, the church was a place. It was an ecclesia. Now notice this. Joining the church, joining the ecclesia was a free choice. You did not have to leave your activities and events, but it was a choice. But once again, you have to come together to say that you are part of the church. Now, amazing thing about this word ecclesia in the Bible, it's mentioned 115 times. It means church or gathering 113 times. And when Christ and his disciples used the word, they knew exactly what they meant because every town had one. They knew what it was when they said that. Now, the amazing thing, we'll bring this down to the last points of this teaching here tonight. Jesus only mentioned the word church in this sense two times. And we're going to go over those two times real quick here this evening. Matthew 6 and 16. Take your Bibles and go there. Let's look at it together. Matthew 6 and 16. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. I said 6 and 16, but it's chapter 16. Matthew 16 and 16. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, Matthew 16 and 16, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my what? My church. That word there is ecclesia. I will build my gathering, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Notice this. This word was never used for God's people up until this point. Where did the name church come from? Jesus. He was the first one to call us the gathering and the ecclesia. So God took this word. I like what Jesus does many times, or God has done many times. He takes a word from the world and he sanctifies it and he gives it to the church. Now, very few Americans would I go to and say, what does church mean to you? They would point to a local facility in which they attend. Why? Because Jesus hijacked the word and gave it to us, and it's never been the same. We are the ecclesia. We are the church. Nobody, it's very rare that you find somebody and say, what do you think of the word church? Well, Alexander the Great, they don't think of that. Where Athens, Greece. No, they think of Jesus Christ because Jesus took that word, sanctified it, gave it to this church. And I like what he says. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my gathering, my ecclesia. And he goes on to say that we are a part of this and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. People say all the time, I want to be a part of something. Be a part of the church. We look in a society, there are more groups that you can join right now. I get things through the mail all the time. Join this group over here. Join this group over here. You can do this. Activities, hobbies, events. Even if you live in a community, they want you to be involved in the community. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with any of those things, unless they are bad things. But understand this, if you really want to belong somewhere, and you really want to be a part of something, be a part of the church. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now this reveals, I'm going to make one more statement about this. This reveals that the gates of hell will attempt to destroy it. Why? Because Satan hates the ecclesia. Do you know right now the devil does not want you to be sitting in that pew listening to me talk about you being a part of the greatest thing that's ever existed? They don't want you to. Hey, matter of fact, he's going to come against it. He's going to fight against it. Let's look at the second place where Jesus mentioned this. In your Bibles, if you still have your Bible there, Matthew chapter 18, only a few chapters over. And this deals with church discipline. Listen to what this says there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Isn't that a good thing? Let's go ahead and talk about church discipline right now. If somebody has sinned against you, don't go tell your neighbor about it. Now, it's all right to get some counselor and elders if you need to, mature people. But understand this, go talk to them. If they reject you, he says in verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. But notice there, if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. What does that mean, Brother Derek? Right here is talking about church discipline. You ever heard the verse says where two or three are gathered and he's in our midst? Do you know that verse is talking about originally church discipline? Right here, where there's two or three people together. Do you know right here there's a lot of things that we could do together in the kingdom of God if we were agreeing on everything? Touching and agreeing, laying hands on. I know we do agree on many things, but what I'm saying is this, that's what the ecclesia is. It's coming together. We ought to be able to deal with a multitude of issues right here as a gathered people. It says, if they neglect to hear the church. Once again, let it be said of us at Abundant Life Tabernacle that when somebody comes and they hear the divine truth of God's word and they neglect to hear it, that we have enough authority that we can pray that they can't just go somewhere and believe a lie and get deceived into something else. But God, let us be such a place and a gathering in agreeance that God can deal with them. In closing, a few points. What is the ecclesia? It is the same people gathering in the same place to do the same thing. A few comments about this. It is the same people. How many is right here? Once again, we are the same people. Friendships, relationships. You cannot live out the New Testament commandments alone. Encourage one another. Try doing that at home by yourself. Stimulate one another to good works. Yeah. Look in the mirror and say, keep doing a good job today. That you can't do that by yourself. It's insinuating that you're a part of a church. The Bible tells you to assemble. And once again, no healthy Christian should neglect coming. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, it says that 8 times. Paul assumed people were going to come together. Why? It is the ecclesia. Look, I understand you can have communion all by yourself. You can do that. But the initial aspect of communion is doing that together. Encouraging one another. Once again, I'm not against somebody doing that by themselves, but don't be somebody that stays home by yourself and never comes to church and says, I'll just have communion by myself. You've missed the whole concept of what communion is.
Matter of fact, try operating in the gifts of the Spirit all by yourself. If you give a message in tongues interpretation by yourself, I am going to question your sanity. I am. You're going to use a word of wisdom all to yourself. You already know yourself. You can't even operate as a New Testament church by yourself. I've actually known somebody that would do such a thing. He'd record himself preaching and listen to it and wouldn't go to church. Sounds crazy, because it is. He would give messages in tongues and all by himself. But yet he'd forsake the assemblies of yourself together. That's a mess, isn't it? But nevertheless, it does exist. Notice this, number two, the same people, the same place, time and address. 101 Blackburn Lane. I've learned that address pretty good over the years. Abundant Life Tabernacle, Sunday morning, 9:45 Sunday school. 9:45, we come together. We've got fine teachers that labor in the Word. And I know them. They do labor in the Word. Come together. Amen. That is the ecclesia. Learn of the Word of God. 10:45, give or take. If I can find my wife. She's chasing them kids. Bless her heart. I know it's tough at times. We're going to have morning worship. We're going to sing together. Who knows? It may be just a Sunday morning where we sing and worship and pray together and preach. But so be it. Come together. And there may be other times that God completely takes over the service and does mighty things in our midst. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. I got them all right. I'm so proud of myself. We're going to have church. I'm going to yell at you for 45 minutes. And I hope it makes sense. But nevertheless, come to church. Wednesday night Bible study, 7 o'clock. Come. Bring your children. Come to church. What is that, Brother Derek? It's the ecclesia. We're coming together. Prayer meetings, revival meetings. All of these are important. Make it a part of your life. Let it consume you. It is the same people at the same place at the same time. In the book of Acts chapter 2, they were in one accord in one place. Pentecost did not come while Peter was at his house, John at his house. They came together and made up an assembly. That is the ecclesia. It's the church. But last point, they came together for the same thing. Why are we here tonight? To glorify the Lord. To teach us where the disciples came together. They prayed together. They preached together. They worshiped together. And that's what makes up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet. Amen, amen. How much does Jesus love His church? He paid a price. I was thinking as my sister was singing that song, who am I? Who am I? Think about what you are. But you have been called out. Wouldn't it be a shame if we put a football game on the same level as the ecclesia? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a shame if we put any other hobby or activity, even a family reunion or anything, on the same level as the ecclesia? Once again, will there be times that we're out of town? Yes. God knows that. There's times that people go on vacations. I don't want you to think I know that happens at times. And look, I understand how difficult it is, even if you go on vacation and you want to find a good church. Man, it's tough to find a good ecclesia. So I'm not sitting up here and say that you have to have perfect in attendance. Even if you're throwing up, you don't have to be here. We don't want you here if you're throwing up. Unless you're coming by faith, and I hope I have faith. You understand what I'm saying? But a majority of your life, you will not forsake the assembling of yourself together. There may come a time in your life that you're not physically able to be here. And I'll tell you this, if you truly love the church, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. It won't be one of those things that you just find yourself I don't care if I go or not. That's not the spirit. Anytime I've met somebody that really wanted to be in the house of the Lord, I've talked to them and they've said, oh, if I could be there. Oh, if I could be there. You can hear it within their spirit.
And that's what James chapter 4, we call for the elders. We pray over this, all these things. We could talk about how the church is supposed to operate. But church, ecclesia, the gathering, the assembly, this is what it is. As I look around, we are a church family. And of course, we want more people to be a part of the assembly. We pray. But there's great power right here in our midst if we agree together on God's word. I encourage you, be in the house of the Lord. Be in the house of the Lord. Be here when you can. If you cannot, God understands. God understands and He knows. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the church. We thank You for it. The ecclesia, the gathering. We have been called out of an origin of sin. We are not defined by our family. We are not defined by our place of birth, our origin in that sense. We are not defined by sin. But we are called together to be one group, one people. Came together for the same purpose, the same place, Lord Jesus Christ. I love You, Holy Ghost. I want You to just unite us. God, help us to understand that it's more important than money. It's more important than jobs. It's more important than hobbies. That we come together, Lord, as one people. United, Lord Jesus Christ, for one cause. That is what the ecclesia is. We have been called out. We have been called in together. That we can be the kingdom, the representatives, the ambassadors of the body of Christ here on earth, Lord Jesus. We ask You to have Your way in this church, God. We want to be that assembly that You want us to be. We want to be that church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. God, let our discipline, God, let us have authority as we discipline and deal with certain issues. We love You tonight, God. We love You. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for the church. We thank You for the church. And God, we just want to do Your will, want to do Your bidding and follow You in these last days. You're looking for a last day church, Lord, to represent Your kingdom. God, let it be in the name of Jesus. Let it be. Let it be. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm just glad to be a part of the church. Amen. I love you all. This will be our dismissal tonight. God bless you. Let your neighbor know you love them and appreciate them. And Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, let's be the ecclesia. Amen. God bless you.